Hello and welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast, where we dive into all things software automation. I'm your host, Nandan Mullakra. While I'm not podcasting, I write articles on nandan.info. I hope you enjoy the show. Let's get right into it.
We have Tom Tolley with us today. He is the author of two books on RPA and AI, the Robotic Process Automation Handbook and Artificial Intelligence Basics. He is also a contributor on Bloomberg, Forbes, and Business Week. He has been in technology for long and is also an investor in the space. His books and articles are easy to understand as he writes for a wider non-technical audience. So in this chat, we explore the history and nuances of AI, RPA, and what the future holds from an automation and technology perspective. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, Tom. Thanks and welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast. Tom, you wear multiple hats and I see you have an interesting background in technology. Can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. And thanks for having me on and thanks for everyone who's listening today. But yeah, so my journey in technology started a long time ago in the early 80s when I was in high school. My dad bought my first computer, so I'm a self-taught computer programmer. Started in BASIC, went to C, Pascal, learned, you know, whatever I could learn and develop programs when I was in high school, and actually sold some of them as well. But it wasn't until college that I started my own business, which was in the e-learning area, and developed software for test preparation, and then raised capital for that. And then I went on to another business. My partner took over the e-learning business and went into, started another company. It's kind of like a Shopify for 1998. And you could go and create your own little website. You know, it wasn't too sophisticated, but it was very popular. And it grew a lot. And we sold that to a company called InfoSpace. Along the way, I've done a lot of writing, as you know. So I started writing for Forbes.com, I think when it started, 1996. And I've been writing for them since then. And then I've also been I've written a variety of books, like yourself, one on robotic process automation, and then a book on artificial intelligence, primarily for those who are non-technical people, which is most people. And yeah, so a little bit of my background. And like I said, it's great to be here.
Thank you, Tom. That's an interesting background. And so I think you have transitioned over to AI and RPA gradually, right? And I think you got interested in it. So can you tell us how you got about writing these books on RPA and AI?
Yeah, so I've always been interested in AI since I was a kid. You know, I watched the movies like everyone else and thought about, well, that'd be really cool technology. And then realized technology was nowhere near doing any of that stuff. So, you know, I had to make money, you know, so early in my career, I didn't really do anything with AI. It was just more of a curiosity. But in the last 4 or 5 years, with the developments that we've seen in terms of open source, GPUs, availability of data, you know, revolutionary concepts in data science, such as deep learning, you know, all came together at the same time. And I thought, you know, it seems like it's ready for prime time. And I mean, you could just, you know, just pull your phone out and you got Siri, you got Alexa, you know, so it's here. And so that's, you know, I thought, you know, I want to do something with this AI stuff. And I thought a book, you know, there are a lot of books on the topic. But they usually are two buckets. There's very technical books. You know, if you want to program in Python and, you know, get into the equations, that's great. But most people, that's too much. And then the other books about AI are more about societal issues, about, you know, the computers are going to take us over and make us slaves. And, you know, that's interesting. But if I'm a business person, and the fact is, you know, there are a lot of business people who are in charge of AI projects who are not data scientists. And I thought, can I write a book for that person? And that was the thinking for that. And it's actually done pretty well. And then for RPA, I stumbled into RPA mostly. I read a Wall Street Journal article. It's my favorite publication, by the way. I shouldn't say that to Forbes, but I love the Wall Street Journal. A few years ago, I read an article in the Wall Street Journal about these companies like UiPath and Blue Prism, and I thought, wow, this is an interesting category. And then I wrote a chapter on that, about RPA, my AI book. And then my editor came to me and said, you know, I want to have a book on RPA. And I saw you wrote a chapter on this. Would you be interested in writing that? And I said, yeah. So that's how that came about. Usually these things just kind of happen by osmosis and accident and running into things. And that's kind of been the case with both of them.
Great. And from an AI perspective and an RPA perspective, right? You've seen the whole history of AI. I mean, you've been, as you said, been an enthusiast since long. So do you see RPA as an extension of AI, like some investors think, or RPA is, as like many technical people think, it's dumb? And then, you know, what's your take on AI versus RPA?
Well, I think it goes to the question of like, what is AI?
Right.
AI was coined in 1956 at Dartmouth University by a group of academics. And, computers obviously were a lot, less sophisticated at the, they took up, rooms and rooms in a building and could only do of what a fraction of your iPhone can do today. You type something in the computer and a day later it might give you an answer. And it's usually wrong anyway, or the computer would break down in the meantime, or your punch cards would fall all over the floor and you'd have to pick them up and stuff like that. It was a whole different era. The name artificial intelligence was coined by someone named John McCarthy, who was an absolute genius and one of the pioneers in data in computer science. And no one really liked the name artificial intelligence. Problem is, no one can come up with a better name, so it just stuck. And so artificial intelligence is the generic definition is replicating the human brain, by using a computer to something to that extent, right? But, it's really not a great definition. So what's happened is there artificial intelligence is really just this huge category for different subsections. So we have machine learning, which has been around for a long time, and it's more like traditional statistics. Mm-hmm. And then we have deep learning, which is more of a modern phenomenon and is about using huge amounts of data to find patterns. That's where we see the facial recognition, things like that. We have natural language processing, which is about understanding the voice, and we have OCR. So you have all these different parts of AI. So is RPA AI? Not really, in my opinion. Does it have elements of AI? Absolutely. UiPath was using, probably more crude computer vision about 5 or 6 years ago, but they were doing that. Then you do need some computer vision to do this AI, but it's not like the most sophisticated use of AI, I would say. I think that's going to change in time as the technologies get better and stronger. But I would say, to me, RPA looks more like a traditional enterprise software system, mm-hmm. versus a data-driven AI system. But again, RPA works with a lot of data. So in theory, there should be a lot of opportunities for AI. But I think there's a way to go for that.
Right. And, in my view, RPA, like you said, has some way to go. RPA still is dumb, right?
Yeah,
it does just repetitive work that is told to it, but it can turn intelligent once you have enough data, right?
Right.
Then it may not be called RPA, and it's being, you know, turning into newer names, right?
Right.
And like our AI with RPA, many people call it as intelligent automation, just like
right.
anything with AI is being called intelligent something, right?
Right.
So intelligent automation, and then Gartner has come up with the term hyper automation.
Right, right.
And so many other terms floating around there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the kind of AI is seeping into RPA, and whatever you mentioned earlier, right? Whether it is OCR, whether it's NLP, whether it is any of those AI techniques, computer vision, all are all being used now in RPA or in automation in general.
Right.
So with that as a next step with automation and AI, and so you have like two books for AI and RPA, but mm-hmm. seeing them together, you know, how do you see this evolving in terms of enterprise software?
Yeah. You know, the AI and RPA are really different stories right now. Mm-hmm. AI, the traditional AI project where a company will invest some money, put a team together, create an application with data, you know, and deploy it. That's a traditional AI project. Those projects don't have a lot of success. I mean, okay. You look at any study, most of them don't go beyond the proof of concept stage.
Right.
It's very difficult. Very difficult. And even the most savvy technology companies have challenges with deploying AI. The nice thing about RPA is that, you know, well, there are examples of deployments that are disastrous, which is the case with any enterprise software. For the most part, there's usually a clear-cut ROI. And that's what managers want. I mean, do they care that it's AI or some fancy hyper-automation? You know, probably not. I think what they care about is, do I save time? Do I cut costs? You know, or am I creating a better customer experience? You know, those are the things, at least I hope those are the things that are under consideration. Now, I know some customers do get caught up in the hype and feel like they have to do AI or this or whatever's the hottest thing. But I think in general, a lot of companies are pretty grounded and they've had a lot of experience with technology that's not worked. So I think, you know, people nowadays are pretty good at evaluating what to do. And the thing is that, you know, RPA is maybe not the, like you said, it might be dumb, but gets results.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, so if you look at the UiPath, which just recently went public, it's growing like a weed. It's hard to argue with growth and, you know, these huge customers that keep on buying more and more of the software. So clearly there is value here. And so I think in a way RPA is more of a bridge to AI as it is AI itself.
Okay. Yeah. And bridge to AI more for the enterprises maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah. Though, you know, there is a big debate about it. Even Gartner, you know, is questioning whether RPA is the bridge for bringing AI.
Yeah.
So we don't know where it will go, but, you know, as you said, it's difficult to argue against growth, right? And it's growing like a weed.
Yeah.
UiPath last 5 years have grown from 1 million to 600 million. So that's amazing growth, right? So what do you think of that as an investor, putting on your investor hat, what do you think about UiPath and the growth at UiPath?
Well, and by the way, the company's been around for 15 years.
Yes.
The first 10 years, it went from zero to 1 million.
Yeah.
And 10 customers. To 10 customers. To the next 5 years, went from 1 million to over 600 million. And I think close to 8,000 customers.
Mm-hmm.
And these are big customers too. Not tiny customers, mm-hmm. big customers.
Yeah.
Clearly they're onto something. When they raised in 27, this is not just a case where they raised it. You know, it's one thing, you know, people say, oh, I raised $1 billion and I'm so successful. Well, you know, if I raised $1 billion, I could probably come up with some revenue and some customers, or at least buy a company with some revenues and some customers. In the early, even when the growth was strong for UiPath, there was a lot of skepticism because it was like, it's Windows software. You know, isn't everything going to the cloud? And, you know, is this just screen scraping, or isn't this really easy? Anyone can do it. So there was a lot of doubters along the way. So the early rounds of funding were small. So they were growing. They were growing at hyper, you know, hyper growth, even without a lot of capital. And that to me is, that shows that, you know, and I think the other thing too is they've not rested in terms of innovation. So they do have a comprehensive set of technologies. They're trying to create a platform. They bought a variety of companies. So I think they're the best positioned right now in RPA. And, you know, whether, you know, the markets go up and down, and, you know, today it could be up, tomorrow it's down. But over the next few years, I think that growth will continue. I think the stock will probably continue to rise. And they'll do more acquisitions. And they'll just probably get stronger. Now, where they'll be in 10 years, I don't know. But I think in the next few years, I think their prospects look really good.
Yeah, 10 years, a lot of time in technology.
I was at an event at Salesforce 11 years ago. And it was Mark Benioff was there, and the co-founder of BlackBerry was there. And it was right before the iPhone was launched. And or maybe it was 12 or 13, I forget. It's maybe 13, I forget. This was a while ago. They were on the top of the world. You know, BlackBerry was the thing. Nothing could go wrong with this company. Yeah. But then a few years, they were nothing. They were done. They were dead.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. So you never know what could happen. But at least the way UiPath is growing now, it shows quite a bit of promise, right? And you know, it all depends, I think, in terms of where they can grow into, right? I mean, I think to me, it looks like RPA was just a start for them.
Yeah.
If they are going to play it right, right?
That's true.
Because automation is a much bigger play.
Right.
And I think process intelligence, now I'm seeing, is another big play. Both now use the UI, which is the Windows UI, and they are mapping what people are working.
Right.
And they are actually looking to reduce the work that people do, you know, and improve the productivity.
Right.
So as long as people play that, I think in terms of, you know, just changing the way people work, and the process intelligence people have started calling, I mean, one of them, I was talking to Scan AI the other day, they're calling in the telemetry of work. So they're actually mapping the whole work. And so UiPath also, one of the evaluations is that their bigger valuable thing is their process intelligence. And UiPath is process intelligence plus automation. And if they can play it well, and they can combine it, and they can keep playing it, probably they have growth ahead. But like you said, we don't know how things will evolve. So yeah, we spoke about UiPath a lot. And so what do you think of all these other companies? I mean, compared to UiPath, UiPath seems to have taken a lead, but what about the other companies, and have you come across any of them, and what are your thoughts on that?
So I've talked to the CEO of Blue Prism and the CEO of Automation Anywhere. So I haven't actually talked to the CEO of UiPath, but I've talked to different executives there. So I'm pretty familiar with the big three in there. I have talked to kind of these small, so you got these three players, and then there's a lot of small ones. You know, so I guess there's a Fortress IQ. I've talked to those folks. There's a lot of different companies, a lot of startups popping up. And I've talked to some of them. But I do think that it's, you know, I think we talked about this earlier couple of days ago about the winners take all,
right?
About how technology is.
Yeah.
And that's the nature of platforms. Mm. I mean, you know, in technology, usually one platform will usually win out.
Yeah.
And I think what's going to happen is that these smaller players are, you know, they're probably either going to get bought out or just go away, you know, or just become a small niche, a small business.
Right.
But, you know, the reality is that if I'm Autodesk, I want a holistic, comprehensive, scaled solution. Okay. You know, if you can't offer me that, I'm really not interested in what you have to offer. So, you know, that's why it's so important to have that type of platform, because if not, you just get lost. I don't know what the latest count is, but when I wrote my book, there was at least over 70 different art. I mean, it depends how you define RPA, but yeah, there were over 70 RPA companies. And then you have companies like, you know, Microsoft, you know, that have their own automation systems,
right?
Or SAP, I think Oracle. I mean, you know, probably at some point Google and Oracle. So what they may do is just buy, or IBM bought some RPA companies. I think these big tech companies are eventually going to eat up these small ones and try to break into the industry. So,
okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And yeah, one of the other players obviously is Microsoft, which actually is, you know, who built the Windows platform. And
exactly. Exactly. They should know something about
it. They should know something about it. In fact, they know a lot more.
Yeah.
And they, whatever UiPath has built is on top of what Microsoft has put out as free software, right? Actually manipulate the elements for their Windows software. And it's not just UiPath, anyone, Automation Anywhere, all took that and, you know, built on top of it. And many smaller companies are doing the same thing. And how you have so many companies out there.
Right.
But obviously UiPath did something different. They executed better. I mean, that's debatable, but yeah, they kept on adding features. And they added a community. Like I said earlier, when we spoke earlier, to me, that's a big thing, you know, because that makes a huge difference, that people have embraced it and people have started using it and people are evangelizing it. And so they've got ahead. So maybe there are one player out there pretty big, right?
Yeah.
And maybe the other two, three pretty big out there.
Yeah.
And then Microsoft is there behind catching up. And actually catching up, honestly, though they are the Windows guys, doesn't count because these guys have built their library of stuff. They're pretty ahead. But Microsoft took over Software Mateo. They're catching up and they have a huge advantage in terms of owning that Windows platform, as well as, you know, many other things and just being that dominant cloud provider with Azure. So that's one thing I think, I don't know if you see this, but you mentioned Google, right? So how do you see this evolving? And could be that many of these things will move to the cloud, right? I mean, maybe RPA is one of the things from the cloud.
Well, especially if we accept the premise of AI, because AI on the cloud's a lot easier.
Yep.
Centralize everything. The data's there. You don't have to buy a ton of GPUs. You know, you just buy what you need, you know, rent it out, scale if you need to, or scale back if you need to. So the hyperscalers are in a great position. They're in a great position for a lot of things. But AI is definitely one of them. So I think Google, I'm sure they're paying attention to this, and they're ramping their cloud platform right now. So I could see that they could make a move on, you know, whether it be RPA or some type of automation. Yeah, I would say.
Yeah, and I mean, if you were to, I know, let's end with this maybe, but you know, if you were to go wild and think about what AI can do for the future, I know 5 years, 10 years is a long time, but let's think this 3 years time. Where do you think AI can take us?
Well, hopefully we'll eventually get this self-driving car thing figured out. You know? It's actually a very difficult, complicated problem. You know,
by the way, I was talking to one expert on autonomous car thing, and I was asking him the same question, and he told me it's probably another 20 years away because he's saying that the last mile problem is much more tougher than they thought earlier.
I think he's correct. I think they're finding out it's a lot more difficult than it seems.
Just the last mile, you know, we already have self-driving car like Tesla, you know, it already drives itself.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. But like a truly
completely
total
autonomous,
autonomous, there's time, you know, we'll need time for that. So I think, I actually, to bring up Automation Anywhere, I talked to the CEO about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
His vision is that in 5 years, AI will be able to understand any business contract.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be very powerful.
Yeah.
That'd be very powerful. Very difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
But to put out, you know, it would put a lot of attorneys out of business. That some people might think that's a good thing, but just think of all the contracts in business. I mean, all businesses have contracts. They are a pain. You know, we have an NDA over here, but we don't want to have, you know, is it going to interfere with who we talk over here? Renewal, you know, companies forget about renewals and then they get fined, you know, they get paid penalties, or, you know, they don't realize they're prohibited from doing certain things because of this contract someone signed 10 years ago.
Exactly.
You know, that he was just left the company years ago and no one knows, you know, about this contract. So I think kind of this document, you know, so we have like document recognition, you know, where we map documents and find out, you know, entities or find out certain concepts and things like that, but we don't know what that document means.
Mm-hmm.
and to interpret it,
right?
You know, it'd be something to say that we get a contract and it'll say, well, there are all these different conflicts with this contract, there are all these different risk factors there, but there are these benefits to this contract, you know, and you know, that'd be amazing. That would be amazing. So I think, you know, whether we get there or not, I don't know. I mean, I think eventually we will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it's 5 or 10 years down the road. I think we will. I think another thing we're going to see is, you know, robotics are going to get much more sophisticated. Mm-hmm. It's fun, a lot of funny. I'll talk to people about my RPA book and they think I'm talking about physical robots or
right.
something like that.
Right.
But I'm talking about physical robots.
Physical
now.
Robots, yeah. Because this is an RPA podcast and people will think you're talking about RPA.
So. Yeah, it's funny. It's fun. So I think, you know, the parts and the systems for robotics are falling in price and cost.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some of this really sophisticated technology to automate these robots. You know, I talked to someone who's an expert in warehouse automation. She told me that within 10 years, warehouses will be 100% automated.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I think that's conservative. But you know, that's going to have some far-reaching impacts, you know, robotics, because then we get into the physical world and actually replacing a physical person doing physical work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen that already in, you know, auto factories and stuff like that. But I think in the next 5 to 10 years, when it comes to robotics, whether it be, you know, a robot flipping a hamburger or a robot, you know, on a farm picking tomatoes or whatever, we're going to see a lot more of that come about. And that's going to be driven because of these advances in AI, I would say, in data.
Right. And that's a great thought that, you know, focusing on, we can talk about like metaverses and blockchain and all that, but there's still a lot of people doing this tedious menial work, right? And
yeah.
You mentioned documents. 80% of the data is still in documents. So we can about a lot of things, but the at the ground level, actually solving things for people, I think there's a lot more to be done. Whether it is documents, whether it's physical work being done, we've been doing that since the Industrial Revolution, but still, you know, there's a lot of things to be automated. Think of the repetitive tasks that people do, like invoice processing and all the things that RPA is covering now. But you know, at the end of the day, it looks like what would transform is the way we work. And in that sense, I think the people, the gurus or the leaders in RPA is right, that, you know, the way we work, whether it's physical or whether it is on computer services, it's going to change. And I have a theory there. I think that we are going to move from doing work we were doing because that's a work, you know, that's a work that had to be done. So doing work for work's sake, to doing more of play work, which is in the sense that doing work that you love. And so if you do things that you love, it's more like play. That's what people say. So that's right. So I think we'll move from like an economy that we see now, whether it's a service economy or a manufacturing economy, to a play economy where people all enjoy what they're doing. And hopefully, I mean, that's my nirvana. And hopefully bots will take us to that nirvana. Hopefully we'll get there. But thank you so much, Tom. And, you know, that was a great thought to end on. Thank you so much. If people want to reach you personally, how can they reach you or find you?
Yeah, so, I mean, email is probably the best. I'm like an old-fashioned person. So ttaulli@gmail.com. I have my own website at tomtaulli.com, just my name, tomtaulli.com. There's a form on there that you can fill out that would reach me directly, or Twitter at ttaulli. People sometimes will reach me on Twitter as well.
Okay, that's great. And you mentioned, you know, email is old fashioned. But no, like every other person I ask on the podcast, everyone I've mentioned their name at email.com. So
it's never going to die. I know Slack tried to kill it, but it didn't work. So it's not going to work. And that's probably another area, you know, with this document understanding, you know, an email. You know, there's, like I said, that whole category is ripe for innovation, that's for sure.
Right, for innovation and change, right?
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Okay, thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time today.
Excellent.
Thank you for joining the Bot Nirvana podcast. Appreciate if you can leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Catch the show notes on botnirvana.org. While you're there, feel free to explore more automation ideas, tutorials, tools, and more. See you next time.